Hello, this is Helen Ward of Chelsea Ladies FC, and you're listening to the Women's Football Podcast.
The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
Hi there, welcome to episode 2 of the Women's Football Podcast. This is Kieran.
Hi guys.
And I'm Hamish. And first and foremost, Kieran, we've got to say a massive thank you to the listeners, haven't we?
Thanks guys, yeah, massive thank you.
Your support since we launched this podcast and did the pilot has been amazing. We're really appreciative of it, and that was the main reason why we've now done this second episode. So a massive thank you to you. Kieran, what are we shining a light on this month?
Yeah, plenty to get through this month, mate. We're going to have a look at the divisions in England. So we're going to have a look at the North, South and National Division of the Premier League. We're also going to have a look at the early stages of the Women's Super League. And I managed to catch up with Chelsea's Helen Ward.
Very cool. The FA Cup is reaching its crescendo. So we caught up with Arsenal's Gilly Flaherty, who at the time of recording had booked her place at Doncaster.
Yep, she had in the FA Cup final, of course, but unfortunately Arsenal were knocked out of the Champions League by German side Wolfsburg. And speaking of Germany, they will be part of our European roundup where we look at some of the leagues. We will also be looking particularly at Lyon in the French League, who have qualified for the Champions League final to take on Wolfsburg. And who better to talk about that game than the Champions League ambassador, Faye White?
Blinding. We'll take a look at the early rounds of the NWSL. And on the subject of America, Kieran had a very special phone call this month.
I did indeed, so let's crack on.
The Women's Football Podcast. Get involved via Facebook. Facebook.com/WFpod.
Right, up first, plenty of international football in this past month, including a very interesting home nations clash between Scotland and Wales. Now, neither myself or Kieran could go to this game, so we sent our own roving reporter, Gareth Fishlock, who of course is the brother of Wales captain Jess.
Hi guys, I went along to a chilly East End park in Dunfermline to see Scotland host Wales in an international friendly. The Welsh were hoping to avenge the Euro qualifier defeat to the Scots last year, and both teams were looking to build on their respective friendly tournaments in the Algarve and Cyprus Cups. The game ultimately proved to be pretty entertaining, with a repeat scoreline of their last encounter, Scotland running out 2-1 winners. James Ross and Kim Little were standout performers for Scotland in my book. Ross's pace, strength and willingness to run in behind caused the Welsh defence problems all day, and she bagged her goal early on when a free kick into the Welsh box wasn't cleared properly, hooked back in by Beattie and then cleverly finished by Ross. A Wales hit back soon after with a well-worked goal of their own. Helen Ward, who was impressive throughout, held the ball up well before Angharra James played a lovely through ball for the pacey Tashard in to finish smartly. A standout performers for the Welsh, Angharra James, and the outstanding Nicola Davies in goal, who's worth a mention. Kim Little perhaps didn't see as much of the ball as she might have liked, but her quality shone throughout, helping to create the second and winning goal in 68 minutes when she played in Emma Mitchell, who controlled and finished well under pressure. There were plenty of chances for either side to score more, but in my opinion, it felt like a fair result. Beside the win, the Scottish will be most pleased with their performance on the day. They had more possession and looked a more cohesive unit. There were some positives for the women in red, with lots of young talent on show and plenty of chances created. But on a poor run of results, they've got some work to do now ahead of their qualifiers later this year. Scotland 2, Wales 1.
Wasn't bad that, Kieran. You might be out of a job.
I know, mate. I know, Gareth. I don't want good reports like that anymore because Hamish will replace me, and I'm not actually joking.
I certainly will. Now, moving on. England were also in action with a nice Cyprus Cup rematch.
They were, yeah. They took on Canada up in Rotherham, and it was it wasn't the best of games, if I'm honest with you. I did manage to catch it, and it was a 1-0 win for England, so a repeat scoreline of the Cyprus Cup final. Very, very late goal in injury time from Ellen White. It was a good ball into the box, and it was more of a reactive diving header from her, and a really nice goal. But I think both managers at the end of it admitted that it wasn't the greatest of games and not the biggest spectacle. But at the end of the day, it's a good result for England, and it's another win over a very, very good international side. And what's actually worth noting as well, Christine Sinclair, one of the best players in the world, barely got a kick, mate.
Absolutely. England in great form so at the minute. But the Canadians also played France.
They did. I think when the teams cut further away, they tend to try and fit in a few games. And Canada played France a few days before the England game and actually got quite a good 1-1 draw. Elodie Tomis gave France the lead earlier on, but Kaelin Kyle scored very late to earn the Canadians a draw. And France are a very, very good side at home. And I think for the Canadians to come away from that with a draw is a very, very good result and actually emphasises how good the win was for England that we've just mentioned.
Absolutely, absolutely. However, the standout game of the past month was America versus Germany.
What a game, mate.
What a game indeed.
Seriously, it was one of the best games I've seen this year, I think. It was end-to-end, lots of goals, lots of quality, a great fight back from the Germans. It had absolutely everything, didn't it?
It did, it certainly did. And one of the scorers for the USA is coming up later in the podcast.
She is indeed. But it was a really good game. I have to mention one of the goals, Lauren Cheney's ball for Alex Morgan. I think it was for the second or the third goal, I can't remember off the top of my head, but she played a ball, bent it round the German defender for Alex Morgan, and Morgan ran in, looped it over the German keeper, and it was an absolute dream of a goal, mate. But as I said, credit to the Germans because they fought back and scored very late on, and USA 3-1 up, you'd probably bet your house on them winning,
absolutely,
to be honest with you. So for Germany to come from 3-1 down and level it up at 3-3, an incredible fight back, absolutely incredible, and what a game it really turned out to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, German football very much in the limelight at the moment with Wolfsburg in the Champions League final. But Kieran, we're going to switch our attention back to the local scene here in England, and it's hotting up in the Premier League divisions.
It is, it is. It would appear that there are a couple of very, very close contests in store between now and the end of the season. The Premier League North and the Premier League South would appear to be two horse races. In the North Division, we have Sheffield Ladies and Nottingham Forest Ladies, who with a few games left are very, very close to each other. And in the Southern Division, again, a two horse race between Millwall Lionesses and Reading. And at the start of May, there is a contest between the two sides, which could settle the league. But obviously, there's been a lot of talk recently about some of the bigger teams in the Premier League, and it's worth mentioning the National Division. Sunderland lead the way at the moment, with Leeds and Watford firmly hot on their heels. And as a Watford supporter, I take no shame in congratulating them on their season this year. Survived relegation on the last day of last season, and they have been in the top half of the table pretty much the whole campaign, mate. So they have been absolutely fantastic. But a defeat against Leeds recently has probably dented their hopes of claiming an unlikely title. Sunderland would appear to be the team that everyone needs to catch, but I wouldn't rule out Leeds at this stage.
There we go. Exciting stuff. And we must also mention, I think you've just done it, that several of those teams that you mentioned have been given WSL licences.
They have. It was recently announced the 18 teams that will take part in the upcoming WSL in 2014. And a few surprises. Doncaster Rovers Bells would appear to be competing in Division 2. And Manchester City, who currently play in the Premier League National Division, will be taking their place in the top division. So it will be interesting to see how that works out. I don't know how you'd feel if you're a Doncaster Rovers supporter or player, but I'm going to tell you now, if it was my club, I'd be pretty despondent, but I'm sure there are reasons and justifications for why that's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you are a Doncaster fan, we want to hear from you. Tweet us at WFPod or find us on Facebook. So, congratulations to all those who have made the WSL for next season. Commiserations to those who haven't. And on the subject of the WSL, there has already been some absolute corkers. The goal of the season vote this season has already hotted up with a pair down at Bristol. When Bristol Academy took on Everton, a 4-3 win for Bristol. Alex Greenwood, a sensational free kick. Maybe bettered, maybe not. I don't want to be the judge of this. by Corinne Yorston's free kick, which was absolutely sensational. And there was another at Birmingham.
There was. Well, it was at Chelsea, mate, but from Birmingham. Rachel Williams scored an absolute peach down at Staines Town FC. I actually went down to that game to watch Chelsea against Birmingham. Really good contest. It was interesting to see how Chelsea's new recruits, the Icelandic girls, would settle in. But actually, Rachel Williams stole the show with an absolute pearler from about 25 yards out, in off the crossbar, absolute dream of a goal. And I'm sure that she will be hoping that it is a contender for goal of the season come the end of the campaign.
Yeah, thanks for the correction there. On the subject of that game, Sofia Jakobsen, your player to watch for Chelsea, is doing you proud.
I know. I'm not feeling too smug about that one because she's not only done me proud in that game, but she also went on to score twice more in Chelsea's 4-0 win at Doncaster. So thanks very much, Sofia, for proving me right on that one.
Absolutely. And on the subject of Sofia Jakobsen, the Chelsea front three were under discussion in our previous podcast. And to get a little bit more in depth, we decided to speak to Helen Ward.
So Helen, in the first Women's Football Podcast, we discussed the teams that will be taking part in the competition this year. One of the things that we discussed about Chelsea was the fact that you've got a couple of new partners playing up front with you.
Yeah, we've signed obviously Sofia from Sweden and Ennie, who everybody knows, she's been playing for England for years. So we've signed a lot of experienced internationals. And a lot of pace as well. So we've got a lot of options up front with myself and Kate Longhurst as well, all fighting for positions. Every single one of us can start games and affect them, but at the same time it's a squad game. So we're fighting for the start, but also fighting when we come off. If we're on the bench, we're fighting to come into the side and make a difference when we come on.
You mentioned experienced internationals coming in Ennie and Sofia. How important is it that you have those sort of players coming in as opposed to using maybe younger players?
Oh, it's massive. Last year we started the season well and we got ourselves to the FA Cup final, which, as everybody knows, we lost out on penalties, and I think that hit us hard as a squad, because after that we didn't get the results that perhaps we deserve sometimes, but other times we didn't pick ourselves up from that real slump. And I think with internationals with such experience, you're going to be able to recover from those sorts of things and grow as a team. So the experience is massive for us. We've had a very young squad, but now we've upped that average age, and we've got players coming in with 50 plus, sometimes even 100 plus caps for their country. So that can only be good for Chelsea as a squad.
Now, last season you played up top alongside Kate. You played alongside Adriana towards the end of the season, and occasionally you played on your own. It's a new formation for you now, isn't it, with Sofia and Ennie. How are you hoping to adjust to that?
Yeah, it is different. Each player that I've played with brings something different to the team, and they're all very good in their own ways. But as you said, we've got a new formation. We played it towards the end of last season when Emma first came in, but obviously we've changed personnel since then. So we spent a lot of pre-season working on the movement of the front three, whoever may be playing in those positions. And also whether you might end up out wide sometimes or in the centre, you know, you've got to know which runs to make and how to work off each other. And we haven't had too much time together as a squad, but we're hoping as the weeks go by that we're going to build on that and cause a lot of backfalls problems this year.
Now, I noticed that in your first game against Birmingham on the opening day of the WSL, there was a lot of interchange between yourself, Sofia and Ennie. Is that something you're used to or something that you're going to have to get used to?
No, I think I'm quite used to it. When I've played up in a three before, most managers I've played for have liked the interchanging, because I think it upsets defences. If you're too static, you're going to be easy to mark. But when you've got three players interchanging and making different runs, it's going to make you difficult to mark, and you know, spaces are going to open up, whether it's in front of the defence or behind, and hopefully create opportunities. So it's something that I enjoy doing. I've played out wide before, so to make runs into those areas isn't alien to me, and that's the same for everybody else up there. Whoever plays up there, we all know our roles in each position, whether it's left, right or centre.
You mentioned that sometimes you're going to have to be out wide and you're used to making those runs. Is that a position that you enjoy, or would you rather be sort of the central person?
I think I'm more comfortable through the middle, but as I said, I've played out wide before, and sometimes it's quite nice to get the ball and be able to face forward and run at defenders, whereas in the middle, quite often you're you're playing with your back to goal, which is something I'm not so keen on, but you know, I'm working on it, and it's something that I need to add to my game. I need to be strong and hold the ball up and be a platform for players to join in. But yeah, out wide, I don't mind it. As I said, I like having a run at a player and trying to get the delivery into the box or cutting in and having a shot myself. So it's, you know, I don't mind. If I'm on the pitch, I'm happy.
You mentioned that Chelsea have sort of almost fallen away over the last 2 years in the second half of the season. How important is it having players like Sofia and Eni and the Icelandic girls that have come in to try and maybe maintain a good start that you might get in the first half of the season?
Yeah, definitely. It is a problem we've had in both seasons when we've had the World Cup and the Olympic Games. It's as if we haven't quite come back together after the breaks and we've not managed to push on from a good start. But I think we've got players who are going to go away to the Euros this year, and that's going to help them keep their match fitness, and it's up to the rest of us that are back home to keep fitness up, keep training well together, keep working on the things we need to work on, and hopefully when the girls get back in after their tournaments from their respective countries, we can start, you know, flying straight from the off.
Is there any benefits do you see to your game with the new players coming in, with Eni and Sofia coming in? Do you think that there could be advantages to helping you somewhat in terms of trying to up your tally from last season in terms of the number of goals you score?
Oh, definitely. I think when you bring quality players into a side, they're going to create and score goals naturally. We've got a lot of pace going forwards, as I said, whoever plays up there. Sofia and Eni in particular are very quick, and if they can get in behind and either get balls into the box or get shots off, it's going to open up opportunities for other players to score as well. So I think having support up the top is important, and the more numbers we can get going forward, the more chances we're going to create and hopefully score.
And finally, sadly, you haven't reached the final of the FA Cup as you did last year. What are the aims for this Chelsea team this season?
It's easy for sides to say, you know, we want to win the league, we want to do this and that, but we are a new squad, we've got a new manager, we've got new coaches, so we want to consolidate this season and we want to compete in every game that we go into. Where that takes us is, you know, down to us. If we end up in the top two, top one, top four, you know, we want to look back and say we've had a positive season, and from this game onwards we need to see a, you know, building from here. We don't want to go backwards. So to say we've got targets, I don't think we have specifically in terms of position, but we, as I said, we want to consolidate and we want to build from what we've started. So hopefully that will end us up, you know, in the top two, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Helen. Best of luck this season.
No problem. Cheers.
Interesting stuff there from Helen, particularly mentioning that Chelsea have not made the FA Cup final. One team that have is the mighty Arsenal. And we caught up with defender Gilly Flatty after their 2-1 win over Liverpool at Anfield in the semi-final.
Well, Gilly, congratulations into the final. Delighted.
Yeah, it's a great result for us. And more importantly, it was a great performance in regards to the fact we stuck together. It was tough, and at times we was up against it, but the whole morale and the whole team spirit was unbelievable tonight, and we rallied all the way through to the end.
I was going to say, Liverpool gave you a good night's work.
Yeah, they did. They've obviously got good, talented individuals that they've signed, and now it's about blending that as a team. But obviously with Beardy, he's a top manager anyway, he had a good solid setup down at Chelsea, and he's trying to implement things up here, which is great to see, and it's good to see that the team are able to strengthen and able to compete as well. But we wanted it so much today, and I don't think anyone who was playing up against could have stood in our way with it.
And that'll be the same for the final, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, we're gutted. We lost it last year, like we weren't even in it, and we've lost our cup, and we want it back. So, especially with the defeat to Wolfsburg, we're even more hungry now to go and actually get our hands on some silverware, and we want our cup back home where it belongs.
What kind of impact will that have going into the rest of the season, winning the Champions early on?
Massive. Even to get to the final was massive for us, confident-wise. I mean, we've had Birmingham and Liverpool, two teams who will be up there at the end of the season, and we've been able to beat both of them. So it's going all right. I mean, obviously we're gutted that we didn't get the biggie, which was a Champions League, but a cup's a cup, and we want that. We've had our name on it 11 times, I think, and we want it back now. We've had it away from us for a couple of times now in the last few seasons, and we want it to come back home.
The Women's Football Podcast. Follow the podcast on Twitter at WFPod.
Some nice fighting talk there from Gilly Flatty, who will, of course, join her Arsenal teammates at Doncaster in the FA Cup final. So congratulations to them. The Gunners, though,
fell short in the Champions League, losing over two legs to Wolfsburg, who will meet French giants Lyon at Stamford Bridge on the 23rd of May. Now, both those clubs have had great domestic campaigns. Kieran, what are the other talking points across Europe?
Yeah, there's lots going on in Europe, mate. Some of the leagues are coming towards the end of their campaigns, and like the WSL, there's some that are just starting. You mentioned Wolfsburg. If we go to Germany first, they would appear that they could win their first league title 10 years after they were formed.
That's phenomenal, that, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, you look at, they came runners-up last year. They've qualified for their first Champions League campaign. They're going to be competing in the final. They've had a relegation and promotion since they were formed 10 years ago. I mean, it's an incredible story. I mean, I can't think of any others, even in men's football, that compare to that.
It's a fairy tale, no doubt, but they've got some very good players there.
They have. I mean, they've had a massive influx of German internationals. You look at Alexandra Popp and Louise Wensing. You know, they've got good players there, and they proved that when they knocked Arsenal out of the Champions League. And you've got to have a very, very good side to outclass Arsenal 4-1 on aggregate. So, you know, I'm sure that while they will be underdogs in the final of the Champions League, I'm pretty certain that they will give a good account of themselves. But, you know, we've covered Germany now, so let's move on. We'll go to the Damallsvenska in Sweden.
Lovely.
It's early days there, actually, so I'm not going to go into too much detail about how the league is looking, but a few weeks ago, it was the Swedish Super Cup that was contested between Gothenburg and Tyresö. And it was Gothenburg that came out on top after a penalty shootout win. Interesting to note that Gothenburg actually have some English talent in their team.
They
in
sure do.
The form of Anita Asante and Jodie Taylor, who is, of course, on loan from Birmingham. So they have already got themselves some silverware this season, and actually one of the players to miss in the penalty shootout for Tyresö was Brazilian Marta.
Wow. Wouldn't bet against that, would you?
Not really, no.
Kieran, I've got to say, I think you're forgetting that we've also got a couple of other Brits elsewhere in Scandinavia.
We have, yeah, and we'd like to wish them well. Danielle Hill, who is a former Everton goalkeeper, is currently playing out in Norway, so we wish her well, and we will try and keep tabs on how she's getting on. And more recently, Ashley Hinks, recently of Chelsea, has actually just gone out to Iceland to play in their competitive league. So we'll keep tabs on them and see how they're getting on.
Yeah, we certainly will. But we can't do a European roundup without mentioning Lyon.
Who?
Only the team that at point of recording have won every single league game going.
Every single league game going, and their goal difference is over 100. So I think they've not conceded hardly any. They've scored over 100. It's ridiculous, mate. Absolutely ridiculous. But you look at that team that they've got. I mean, they've been dominant for the last 2 or 3 years now, and they just are unbelievable. You look at the French players that they've got, like Abelé and Nassib and Henri, and then they've got the players from abroad like Schelling and Dickerman and Rapinoe. It's just, I mean, it's difficult to see past them for any game that they're playing. I mean, they've put some serious scorelines together this season, and it comes as absolutely no surprise that they have pretty much romped that French league.
Yeah, have fun with that, Wolfsburg. Good luck in that one. But obviously, both Wolfsburg and Lyon will be at Stamford Bridge at the end of May. So we caught up with Champions League ambassador Faye White to give us the lowdown on both teams. Welcome to the Women's Football Podcast. You are, of course, the ambassador for the Champions League. What has that role got you doing?
A lot, actually. A lot of promotion ahead of the final, obviously at Stamford Bridge. Was at their launch when they announced where it was, and the ticket sales when they started that back, I think, in February now, March. And then a lot of promotion, interviews, things like that. But also recently, when I'm the tube with the trophies and Graham Rousseau taking the trophies to the Londoners, which was quite interesting. Certainly in Manic Bay, morning, should I say, during rush hour. But no, it's really good. There's a lot of exciting stuff to do around the final as well, with the Champions League festival that's going to be at Stratford as well.
How much of an impact will having the final at Stamford Bridge have on the game in this country, do you think?
Well, it's another high-profile game, isn't it? Some of the best international club players come into the country again after last summer in the Olympics. And certainly now that we know the two finalists, with Lyon, everyone expected them probably to get there. But they're squad is even stronger than it was last year, with the addition of the Japanese forward Ono and Matt Ramponi from America as well. So they're obviously a formidable team and some great quality players, a lot of who will be in the Euros playing in the summer in Sweden as well. So and obviously Wolfsburg as well, who have just tipped Arsenal to get to the final this year.
Absolutely. I was going to touch on Lyon. You've named several of their star players, but what's been the secret to their success? Is it those players, or what is it?
Well, they've managed to, get a massive, well, a very strong, experienced squad together. The finance, I think, that's been put into them over the last couple of years, certainly when we played them, not last year, but 2 years before that, we got to the semis and played them, and obviously lost out to them because they've managed to get a lot of the French national players in their squad, and also picking some of the best other players around the world, like Lotta Schelin from Sweden, Lara Dickerman from Switzerland as well. So it's players like that who they've got internationals all over the field, and it was it shows their strength in depth. And you know, that was their aim, I think, to be the best team in Europe, and they've done it for the last 2 years and are looking to do it for a third year. So it's certainly going to be a hard task, I think, for Wolfsburg, but it will still be an entertaining game because Wolfsburg showed how strong they were with a 4-1 win over Arsenal in the semis on aggregate.
Absolutely. I was going to say, Wolfsburg are going to be very confident having seen off Arsenal, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think I watched the first leg, obviously, here at Boreham Wood, and we didn't quite play to our best. A few players had a few off day, which you can't do in a game like that, but they just took their chances that they had, and being German, they always tend to do that. That's always the biggest difference I've noticed over the years when we've played them. But they had a lot of experience, and I'm sure they're saying it's their first game, first time in the competition as a team. But if you look at their players, quite a few of them have already had the experience of playing with other teams like Potsdam and Duisburg and Frankfurt and players and teams like that. So they've got some quality players in their team.
Absolutely. Just a word on Arsenal. Obviously, ones to beat in the league this season. But is there anything missing that is holding them back in Europe?
I just think this year probably a little bit more strength in depth. We had it in 2007 when we won, but this year obviously Kelly, biggest player not playing in the two legs, was a big blow for us, purely because she, you know, hurt her ankle in the game against the Italian team in the round before. So I think it was that really that's the main difference from 2007. We got the experience, and a lot of the youngsters now that have come in, like Steph Houghton, Ellen White, Jordan, and Nod, and Julie have got good experience of playing in those games, and it's not that that's overawed them, it's that quality and that clinicalness, and you know, performing on the big games when it matters. And so yeah.
Certainly on that domestic scene, the off season has seen a lot of teams strengthen. It's made for a really exciting league, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You've heard some more foreign players, internationals coming into the league, Icelandic, Swedish, another Spanish girl for Bristol. So, you know, it's good to see. But then also a lot of youngsters are coming, starting to come through from the Centre of Excellence. We've got one in Jade Bailey, who stepped up to the first team. She hasn't started yet, but she's been in and around the squad training and things. And I'm sure that's happening all over the league as well. As each year we progress, the quality of, you know, bigger net of quality of players in those Centre of Excellence are moving out into WSL teams, which is really good. So we've obviously Karen Bardsley as well coming into the league for the first time, joining Lincoln, which I haven't played with her for England. Knowing her strength, it's obviously I would have liked her to be an Arsenal shirt, but we've got obviously a great keeper in Emma, but she's great to have part of the league as well. I think it'll make it really exciting.
Who do you feel the teams are that are going to push Arsenal this year?
Sometimes it's so hard to tell because so many players have moved. It's obviously interesting to see what's happening at Liverpool with the finance and the support they're now getting, which is really good, helps to strengthen the league again. More of a challenge, I'm sure, will come from them, although it may take time. Looks like Chelsea have added quite a few international foreign players to theirs, but again, have not started the best. Obviously, they got knocked out of the FA Cup straight away, so you would expect a bit more from that. But that shows that you need time sometimes. But they've started well playing against Doncaster, a 4-0 win. But so yeah, it would be interesting. Birmingham, I thought they would still be there. They've lost two of their strikers in Enea Luca and Jodie Taylor, but The rest of their team still the same, but they were on the end of a thumping by Arsenal in the FA Cup. I think that showed how much the team Arsenal wanted to be back in that trophy and get to that final after them winning it last year in Birmingham. So, but yeah, I'm sure they'll still be strong going forward. They won't concede that many goals again.
The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
Time for a new feature now on the Women's Football Podcast that we have named the Tactics Board. Here, we pick a subject that has made the headlines and ask for your opinions, which you can send to us via Twitter at WFPod or via Facebook at facebook.com/WFPod. This month's topic is Laura Del Rio recently saying that the WSL could become the biggest league in the world. Kieran, what have people had to say for this month's topic?
Yeah, some good responses through Twitter mainly, so thanks to those who got in touch. First off, Steve Edwards. I know Steve personally, one of the coaches at Watford Ladies, so thanks for getting in touch, Steve. He says, the WSL has the clubs and is attracting the players to be the best. A second tier, more TV coverage and bigger attendances are needed, however. If I scroll further up our feed, Sydney says, I think it's definitely got potential. Great clubs with great players. I live in Canada and I do my best to follow the WSL. So really interesting to hear that we have some international fans following us.
Great stuff. Thanks, Sydney.
Alicia Ferguson, we know Alicia well. Thanks for getting in touch, Alicia. She says, definite potential, but I think all coaches need to be employed full time and players need a longer season with their club. I think we'd probably agree with that, wouldn't we? I think
we certainly would, yeah.
Brian Maguire, Brian's a regular contributor to our Twitter feed, so thanks for getting in touch, Brian. He says, so much has been achieved, but streams desperately needed. Women's soccer fans are scattered but passionate. And I will finish off with Rachel Stack, who says, it has great potential. Everyone is aware of it, but can't be followed weekly. Need online streams like the NWSL provide. Hard to be a fan when you can't watch the games. I'm from Ireland, so never going to be able to attend weekly. So thanks to those that got in touch. I think if I was to give my views, I actually agree with Rachel. I've been watching some of the NWSL online, and I think having that access to the league is certainly beneficial in terms of trying to compare it to leagues across Europe and other leagues elsewhere. Can the WSL be the best league in the world? I'm not too sure. It's certainly got potential. It's certainly growing. The international players that have come over will make it very exciting. I think it would be nice if we could see it being a little bit more competitive. Arsenal do seem to be the team that lead the way every year. And I'm certainly hopeful that in time we might see certain other teams seem challenging. Hamish, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Kieran. Having worked in men's football for the past 5 years or so, the only concern I have is that the governing bodies don't run before they can crawl. A lot of the finances need to be tight. You know, the men's game, we've seen with the likes of Portsmouth, that meddling with the finances can have a massive impact. So I just hope that the steady progress that the league has made over the past few years is continued, and there's no added pressure added that will get people making maybe silly decisions. So, but that's my opinion. And earlier you heard me chatting to Faye White, so I posed the question to her, and this is what she had to say.
I certainly hope so. Obviously, having played all in it, my time in England, deciding not to go abroad when I've had an offer before. I hope it was, because I wanted to see a really successful league in England. And, you know, that's, I think, showing that some of the foreigners are coming up to these shores now rather than, you know, places like Germany or Sweden. So, you know, I think it's good to keep progressing it and building it each year so that it becomes sustainable, rather than throwing lots of money at it and expecting it to be a fully professional league straight away. I think it's important it grows with its fan base in this country, because we're up against slightly different challenges in other countries are. So, yeah, let's hope she's right.
That was Faye White giving her opinion on our tactics board subject. We'll be putting out a new topic very soon, so keep an eye on at WFPod and facebook.com/WFPod. Now, let's head across the pond and have a look at the NWSL. Kieran, you've been watching plenty of games, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, mate, and you can probably tell in my voice that I am incredibly tired, having been up till 3:30 this morning watching Kansas City and Seattle. So, yeah, the time difference is certainly not working in my favour, but it's been really good, mate. I have to say, I have really, really enjoyed the games. They've been competitive. They've been of high quality. I don't particularly like the American football pitches that some of the games are being played on. It makes it incredibly difficult to follow. But the players seem to manage okay, so that's the important thing. But really good quality, some really competitive matches. I've really enjoyed Portland against Seattle the other week. Obviously, my first opportunity to see how Christine Sinclair and Alex Morgan would link up. I've managed to catch a few other games as well. So, yeah, it's been really interesting. And the crowd seemed to be really good as well. There were 16,000 at Portland v Seattle. An incredible atmosphere and really, really well followed by the looks of it.
Yeah, great to see. How are our Brits doing?
They're doing all right. We'll start with Leanne Sanderson, who's obviously playing in Boston. They've only actually managed to play one game. Obviously, the Boston incident that occurred a few weeks ago forced their second game to be postponed. And I think everyone agrees that was the right decision. And obviously, we would like to send our best to the people of Boston, and we hope that you all stay strong and stay together. But the Boston have played one game. They drew that 1-1 all. Leanne did play. So that's where they stand at the time of recording. Ashley Baker, who we mentioned, who is at Sky Blue, hasn't actually played yet, but I think Ashley's going to be one for the future. I think she's not been drafted necessarily for now, but I think she will certainly be one that features in the future. And obviously we have Jess Fishlock. Jess is someone that we interviewed last month, a real character, and has certainly taken that onto the pitch. The American commentators seem to like her. She's been very, very influential in her team's performances. And she was actually voted the NWSL Player of Week 2 by selected US media. So congratulations for that, Jess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done, Jess. Interesting to see that she's actually got more yellow cards than goals.
She has.
Well done, Jess. But yeah, as you said, those American commentators, they love Jess, don't they?
They do. I stayed up and watched the Chicago against Seattle game a few weeks ago, and I actually watched it with a few other people, and we were all following it on Twitter as well. And some of the lines that were coming out were interesting, to say the least. Now, I'm going to do these in my best American accent. I don't mean to offend anyone. I'm going to roll with it. So these are some of the lines that came from the commentators in the Chicago v Seattle game. There's traffic in front of the net. There's plenty of real estate ahead of her.
What does that even mean?
Real estate ahead of her. I've no idea, but I'm guessing it was in relation to a load of defenders being in front of her.
Just say defenders.
I've also got a little bit of ping pong in the middle of the park. Watch for the head ball. And my favourite, the bingo bongo goal line. Now, I've no idea what that's in reference
genuinely
to.
Genuinely speechless.
But I tell you what, it was interesting, and actually it made it very entertaining. And I can assure you that we are not taking the mickey out of the league. The league is incredibly professional. The streams that have been put together are very... The week one, there were a few issues, but actually since then, they've been really, really good. The commentary has been really interesting as well. But I think that adds to the fun, and certainly I've thoroughly enjoyed watching the NWSL up to now, and I will continue to do so.
Now, I mentioned earlier in the podcast that, Kieran, you got a rather special phone call.
I did. And it's thanks to a friend of ours, and she knows who she is, for setting this up for us. I managed to speak to the US Women's National Team's number 15. Her friends know her as Pino. She's currently on loan at Lyon. That's right, it's Megan Rapinoe.
Okay, Megan, thanks first of all for joining us on the Women's Football Podcast. You return very shortly to the NWSL. How much are you looking forward to hooking up with your teammates in Seattle?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it a lot. And I think just the fact that we have a league back in the US is so exciting. It's, you know, we need a league at home, and it was a really good thing having the WPS, and for, unfortunately, that folded, that to have another league pop up just proves the popularity of the sport and the demand for it. To get back in Seattle, I had a good stint with Seattle last summer for the Olympics, brilliant fans and brilliant crowds that we had. So hopefully we can kind of replicate the same, and I'm looking forward to getting back up in the Northwest.
Absolutely. Do you think this is the last chance for a league in America to work following the difficulties of the past two that unfortunately collapsed due to financial difficulties?
No, I mean, I think if this one folds, I think the demand's there. So whether this league survives or not, I think the demand is still going to be there. And in the last 2 years, I think that women's football, especially in the U.S., but really across the world, has become so much more popular. And just the profile of the sport has really exploded, it seems like. Hopefully this league will survive. I think that, with the last few weeks, we've learned a lot about probably what not to do. And it seems that the business model and just the idea and kind of the attitudes around the league seem a lot better. The first two leagues seem a bit more, we wanted the biggest and the best and the greatest league. And I think it's important to focus on having a league and having it be sustainable and just having a place where we can play. And I think that this league is doing that.
Absolutely. Well, while time will tell whether the success of the NWSL proves fruitful, there are certainly no question marks over the national team. How much are you enjoying being a part of the current setup?
It's so good. I think that, going abroad and playing with international players and even knowing some players before, just realizing how good we have it. I was lucky enough to come right out of college and right into the national team, and our salaries are good and the setup's good. The support is there. The fan support's there. Support from the media and the support from the federation has really allowed us to continue to be one of the top teams in the world, and just realize we're lucky to do what we do. Keep pushing the sport and always pushing the boundaries, but it's pretty special what we have in the U.S.
Absolutely. A very, very top side. You celebrated 5 years at the top of the world rankings recently and haven't lost a game in quite some time. Do you feel like the team is invincible sometimes?
It doesn't feel like we're invincible. I think it feels like we're very hard to beat. And if you beat us, then you've definitely earned it, I think. You look at the games that we've played over the last year and the times that we have lost just the last few years. I think that the sides have been really strong. We're definitely not an easy team. But I think that, especially the last World Cup and the Olympics has really shown how much women's football has grown and how good the teams are getting. Not just the usual suspects, but, the teams from maybe 5 to 15, the world rankings, those teams are such quality sides now.
Well, final question. We mentioned earlier the London Olympics, and you obviously won a gold medal in front of 80,000 people at Wembley. How did that feel, and how much did you enjoy your Olympic experience in London?
Oh, just unbelievable. I still remember walking out of the tunnel just before the game, before the first whistle, and having that many people in the stadium is just insane. Obviously we knew we were playing at Wembley for the final, and of course, the capacity, and I didn't think it was going to be that much, but just absolutely unbelievable feeling to have that many people there and obviously to win. Really, it's just like a childhood dream come true. I laugh about it still sometimes. I'm like, this is just crazy. I love the Olympics. I'm just a crazy fan about the Olympics in general. To better represent my country and actually win a gold medal is just ridiculous.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Megan.
The Women's Football Podcast.
Listen to the podcast via SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.com/WFpod.
That was Megan Rapinoe talking the NWSL and the US Women's National Team. That was actually part one of our chat with Megan Rapinoe. We will be bringing part two in an upcoming podcast. And I implore you to listen to that, because it features a frankly awful French accent from my co-host here.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, you should be. And on that note, that is the end of episode 2 of the Women's Football Podcast. A massive thank you to Gareth, Helen, Jilly, Faye and Megan.
And of course to you for downloading the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter on @WFpod. You can get us on Facebook. We're on facebook.com/WFpod, or you can email us on thewfpod@gmail.com. And don't forget that we are now available on iTunes.
That's all from us this month. We'll see you again next time.
Ta-ra!
The Women's Football Podcast.
Shining a light on the women's game.